Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon here, KY6V for South Cars. Just want to give you a heads up that our TIN for this month will be starting at 7 o'clock in about 5 minutes. TIN stands for Thursday Informational Net, and tonight we will be discussing All-Star and all of the ramifications therein, and that's presented by Roger, W4RFJ, and his friends this evening. I'd also like to say that I certainly like your marquee up there, George, N-O-7-O. It says, George, in the great state of TIN delight. I just love that. And welcome to our Australian friends. I saw you just connect down there, Robert and group. So see you at the top of the hour. This is KY6V. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all those ships out at sea. This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, and this net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization. It further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. The SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. And in fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information may be found regarding our operation at scarsvoip.com. That's one word, scarsvoip.com. And your net controls this evening and master of ceremony will be Roger, W4RFJ, hailing out of Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, where I'll bet you it's a little bit on the cold side, and his friends that are gathering with him here this evening for the presentation. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, would you call now, please? Okay, all's quiet on the Western Front. Do we have anybody celebrating their birthday this week, next week? If so, we'd like to put you right up in the front of the net. Okay, nobody's fessing up. I'm going to fess up. I've got one coming up here on Sunday. And I will say that I passed into the Twilight Zone last year. And this year, I'm just going a little further into deep space, and we'll leave it at that. The TIN Open Forum, this is a monthly Thursday informational net, and this net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. So, without further ado, let's get the show on the road. Good evening, Mr. Jordan. Thanks for running the quarter deck here this evening. W4RFJ from KY6V and SCARS.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday Information Net. Tonight we will be discussing All-Star, registering, and building your own node. However, the real treat today is that we have a guest, Steve W9SH. I need to double check and make sure he's with us. Let me grab a nickel here. W4RFJ calling W9SH. Are you around, Steve?
I don't see him yet, Roger, and I'm monitoring All-Star also. Over.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to bounce around. I was hoping that he would be here. Okay, well, anyway, Steve, W9SH, has offered to be here and help me through most of this. He is the developer of Zipper, X-I-P-A-R. It's an All-Star Link distribution. And he's also the developer of the DSP code required for making the CM109/119 USB audio interface available to us. This interface is what has been making it possible, for hooking our radios to our computers, and I might say it's an inexpensive interface. Steve has been my Elmer when it comes to All-Star for many years. Over time, I've come to call Steve Ogwo, which stands for Oh Great Wise One, but I'm sure he would appreciate you calling him Steve. So let me take a second here and see if Steve has joined us yet. If not, we'll take some check-ins. Okay, no contact, so let's take a list of check-ins here. Basically, I want to give everybody a chance to check in and say hello and see if we can't get things rolling with our little presentation here. This is W4RFJ. For stations wishing to check in and say hi, please call W4RFJ with your suffix only, please.
Victor Kilo, 3 Hotel, Juliet, Quebec, John.
Sierra Echo Zulu.
K2LHA.
Victor Hotel.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. I'm sorry if I didn't catch John's complete call. Was that Hotel Juliet Victor for a suffix?
No, negative. Hotel Juliet Quebec, HJQ.
Thank you, John, and we got you there. Hotel Juliet Quebec. We have Sierra Echo Zulu, Hotel Alpha, and Victor Hotel. Fine-looking group of gentlemen. We'll pass it over to HJQ. John, go ahead, fill in your call, and go ahead and say hello, W4RFJ.
Yeah, fine there. I haven't got the name that way, sorry. W4FJ from VK3HJQ. Welcome to everybody. Good evening, good afternoon. It's gone about 7 minutes past 11 here, Friday morning. Very nice day down under. It's about 26, 27 degrees C outside. They're forecasting up in the 40s today. And thanks for Robert VK2DY for connecting up the ham conference to news guys. All right, back to you. W4RFJ from VK3HJQ.
Okay, John, fine business. Well, we're tickled pink, or is that pickled tink, that you guys were able to join us. And I thank Gordon and Robert for making that possible. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see if we can assist in helping you guys get some information to get an All-Star Link node up and running. All right, next on the list is Sierra Echo Zulu, our good friend on the way up north. go ahead, Paul, fill her in, and good evening. Welcome aboard the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Well, good evening there, Roger, and everybody on the net. And I, N1SEZ here in Danbury, Connecticut, and I wouldn't say that I'm way up north. I'd give that honor to Mike, WA1NXI, so I see he's connected. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the net tonight, and wouldn't have missed it. I set several alarms to make sure I didn't forget. So looking forward to it, Roger, and thank you and everybody else who's presenting this to us tonight. Going to be a lot of fun and a lot to learn. N1SEZ, back to net.
Outstanding. Well, we appreciate you being there, Paul. Next on the list, we have Happy Amateur. Fred, jump in. Good evening and welcome aboard.
Well, good evening, Roger. We are waiting with great anticipation, learning all about All-Star. I've never played with it, but I'm sure you'll fill us in. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Outstanding, Fred, and again, good evening. Let's see, last on this list is Victor Hotel, our good friend down in Louisiana. Go ahead, Steve, jump in and say hello, and welcome aboard the Thursday Information Net, W4RFJ.
Thank you, Chief, and good evening to everyone on the net. This is Steve, KF5VH from Lafayette, Louisiana, where it's still too cold, but by Saturday we may hit 70. So, light at the end of the tunnel. Back to net, KF5VH.
Okay, Steve, fine business, and we're glad you're there. I might add that KF5VH, Steve down in Louisiana, is using All-Star for his emergency amateur radio emergency communication network and repeater system that he has down there. And Steve, if you don't mind, I might come bounce off you to get some feedback on some of the areas during the proceedings here. And if you don't mind, I'd like to be able to include you. Over.
No problem at all. Whatever I know, you can know.
I like this plan. I'm glad to be a part of it. Okay, well, let me double check and make sure we don't have anybody else that wants to jump in and say hello. Please call W4RFJ with your suffix only, please.
7-0.
Whiskey Delta X-ray.
6 Victor.
November X-ray India.
Okay, I guess we'll stop it there. Look, we got an even better looking group in here now. 7 Ocean, Whiskey Delta X-ray, 6 Victor, and NXI. 7 Ocean, good evening, George. How's the Sheriff of Nottingham doing down there in Sherwood Forest, or Nottingham Forest, or I always get them confused. Go ahead, W4RFJ.
W4RJ in the TIN, NO70. We are freezing with snow still on the ground. So that is the long and the short of it. However, I'm looking forward to the program on All-Star tonight. I learned today, Chief Annette, that next month, February, that being the shortest month of the year, that February only has 40,320 minutes in the month. So I'm looking forward to learning how to fill every one of those minutes with All-Star. W4RJ, NO70.
Well, I was wondering where you were going with that, but I can certainly appreciate it. Okay, George, we'll break with you. Whiskey Delta X-ray, Bernie, come on in and welcome aboard the Thursday Information Net. Over.
W4RFJ, okay, Chief, KD9WDX, Bernie in Medford, Wisconsin, and I've used the All-Star a little bit on my phone, getting used to entering all those numbers just to enter, but I actually downloaded an ISO image of it. I'm not sure if I want to try installing it on the current netbook because I'm not sure if it's going to wipe out everything, if it needs the whole entire hard drive, or if I can install it alongside what I've got on there already in an empty spot on my hard drive or what. So I was thinking about maybe waiting until I bought another little laptop or something and putting it on there, either that or put it on here and put Echolink on there or something like that. So back to you there, Chief, W4RFJ, K9WDX.
Okay, Bernie. Well, hopefully we'll be able to answer some of those questions here this evening. We will be talking about the ISOs and different downloads that we can utilize. You mentioned, wait a minute, where was I going to go with that? Well, we'll just leave it at that for now. I'm sure I'll think of it the next time we when we get into, you know, what type of equipment you want to set this up on. So, Bernie, hang in there. We'll get to it. Next on the list is the illustrious 6 Victor. Captain, come on aboard. Glad to see you come out of your stateroom. Over.
Yeah, out of my cocoon with the weather that we've got. Thanks, Chief. KY6V here. I just thought I'd make it official. I'm not going to talk about the weather. The iguanas are falling out of the trees, frozen stiff. The alligators are mesmerized. The ducks have gone someplace, I think, into hibernation, and, you know, on it goes. But at any rate, I'm looking forward to the program tonight. Number one. Number two, since you have asked me to be the aficionado of plugging stuff into the text box, such as URL addresses, my only question for you, are you going to give me a cue when you're ready, or do you want me to follow the script and insert when I think I should and probably be the wrong spot? KY6V, over.
Actually, we can do both, Gordon. It really doesn't matter. If you follow the script, it should follow through. If you need a cue, you might want to put it in there now. anything else there, Skipper?
No, I think that's it for the memento, but you behave yourself now. I've got four separate computers recording everything that you say, and George has got a fifth online up there in Nottingham, so watch out. KY6V, over.
Well, that's the only one that really worries me. He's got those squirrel lawyers up there in the forest watching over every word I say. So thank you very much there, Captain. I do appreciate that. And I guess you can just follow along with what I'm saying. That should be cue enough because I'm pretty much referring people to the text box. Let's see. We'll break with you and top of the evening. Let's see. November X-Ray India in the great state of Maine. Go ahead, Mike, fill her in, and welcome aboard the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Well, good evening, Roger, and everybody aboard. Just wanted to say a quick hello, and we'll be listening in to see if I can learn something I know nothing about tonight. Looking forward to the net, and almost forgot about it, then it dawned on me at the last minute, so here I am, waiting to learn something. WA1NXI, back to net.
Okay, well, in the text box, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Mike, thanks for being there, and welcome aboard, and anybody else that's too shy to jump in and say hello, that's okay. Follow along, we'll make sure everybody gets a chance to ask questions and or make comments and so forth. But in the text box, Gordon is sharing a link to the All-Star website. One of the things that we need to understand is that in order to get a node assigned to us in the All-Star network, you have to register with the system. This will require you to provide a valid email address and a phone number, and you'll have to get access to the website to do any node requests in itself. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, so what really attracted me to the *APP_RPT system, which is the system that the All-Star Network uses, was its ability to work outside of any established network. As you guys are probably already aware, Echolink, you have to register with a central service in order to get access to the network, and that has to be done every time you you use the system. The fact that All-Star or the *APP_RPT software works naturally with a telephone system as was just putting in the pie. Well, let me explain. I can link my nodes together and give them my own node numbers and build my own network separate from any other. That's the versatility of this system. If I wanted to, and I could link to, let's say, a node down in Florida and my node up here and just use that as a separate network in itself, that would allow me to link radios directly, and I wouldn't have to use anybody's service or system or configuration. And I'm not sure if I'm getting that thought across well enough. Let me unkey for a second. Okay, there's a lot of people in there. I guess that's what's making me nervous. Anyway, one of the biggest issues and the most important to me is the audio quality. It's unmatched by any other type of system, in my humble opinion anyway. Let's see. Let me make sure I'm not overlooking anything here. Captain, you want to switch to the next node over?
Yeah, it's already posted, sir.
Okay, give me a second. I want to get it up on the screen. Well, we'll come back to it. Anyway, the link that Gordon has just put up on the screen is sharing a page that was written by Jim Dixon, WB6NIL. He's now a silent key. He passed away last year, I think it was. He was also known as Jim Dude. I don't want to go through the entire history, but I wanted to make it available to you guys so you could see what the All-Star system was all about and how Jim actually got things rolling with it in his words. Steve, W9SH, is mentioned, and I would like to pass it to Steve and see if he would like to share his experience and or take on his side of the history of All-Star. He may not be there, but I'm going to unkey and see if he is. If he's not, I'm going to say a few more words. Okay, well, he's not there. Anyway, through the reading, I'm going to summarize. Jim Dude, as he was called, was involved with the early development of the Asterisk PBX software. That's a telephone type of system that utilized a computer. And the neat thing about it is Jim found that the interfaces that they had developed, and we'll talk about those a little bit later, were a bit too expensive, however, quite, reliable, that's the word. They were very reliable, but they were very expensive. So he started looking into USB interfaces, and actually that's where Steve, W9SH, came into play, because Steve was asked to develop the DSP code that would allow us to use the CM109/119 chip to connect to our radios. Let me grab a nickel here real quick. All right, so I guess our good friend Steve isn't here yet. He's probably gotten waylaid by his admiral. Let's take a moment to take some check-ins and see if anybody has any questions so far concerning the All-Star link and the history behind it. This is W4RFJ. Please give your suffix only and come on in. Okay, hearing nothing, let's get back into the versions and so forth. There are many versions and or types of systems that can be put together. The thing that brings it all together is, as we started to say, registering a node. Once your registration goes through, you will be able to log in, and that's where the magic happens. Once registered, logging in will give access to a menu that allows you to register a system, and I look at it as setting up a baseline to add your nodes to, or group of nodes, and then you register or request a node, and once the node number is issued, you will need to fill in information of the node, and with that, the system will make a configuration file available to assist in setting up your node. Okay, sounds confusing at this point, but it's no different than setting up your own radio interface and afterwards setting it up or configuring it to connect to other nodes. I guess I'm starting to babble here. What it comes down to is building a node and testing it before connecting it to All-Star, and that is a better way to get things started. You can test it with things like, and I'm going to throw a word out here that may not make sense. I was hoping Steve would be around to talk about it, but it's the IAX RPT program, which allows you to connect to your node with a PC. Let me grab a nickel. All right, well, let's see here. I was hoping to get Steve to talk about it. I'm not sure, W9SH, I mean, but maybe Steve down in Louisiana has got some feedback for us. Steve, are you familiar with the IAX RPT software? KF5VH, W4RFJ with the TIN.
I can talk for a minute about IAX. It's a protocol. So Asterisk is sitting there running, and it has a connection through the URI system or the USB module system. It has channels phones that plug into an Astra system typically use SIP, which is a different protocol. But all these protocols do is allow you to pass traffic in both directions. And as I just mentioned in the text box, it supports full duplex operation if you're interested in that. And a protocol is just two ends of a conversation agreeing what the bits are meaning as they go back and forth. So IAX is a protocol module that fits into Astris for transporting things outside of the server. Back to net, KF5VH.
Outstanding, Steve. I couldn't have said it any better myself. W9SH, I believe, wrote this. I'm not sure, totally sure, but he's the first one that made it available to me. I'm pretty sure he wrote it. But the IAX RPT program basically utilizes the IAX protocols, as Steve had mentioned, within the All-Star, or I should say Asterisk program, and allows you to use that program allows you to access with push-to-talk control and touch tones, and basically it's an interface like a telephone interface that allows you to connect to your node, or the All-Star nodes for that matter. So let's see. Let me back up just a little bit. The All-Star system consists of a program or group of programs, namely the Asterisk PBX program with an APP RPT sub-program that gives you the ability of using Asterisk as a repeater controller or a link controller. And IAX RPT is just a communication program you can run on your PC to access it. The neat thing, again, is that you don't have to belong to All-Star to run your own radio node. You can actually link your nodes together in the configuration files to make your own network. So if everybody understands that, we can move forward on interfaces and hardware. But before we do, let me make sure we got everybody at the same level, same page. So anybody who would like to ask questions of myself or Steve, KF5VH, please call W4RFJ, suffix only, please.
6 Victor with a question.
Okay, Captain, go ahead. Looks like you got the floor.
Muchas gracias, mi amigo. KY6V here. My question's on IAX RPT that I'm a little confused on. I have my IAX RPT system tied in with our Southcar's All-Star node 27404. Can a user using that software connect to another node that he may not be registered with? In other words, do you have to have a family node to start connecting to other people, or can you go direct? KY6V, if that question made sense.
Well, yeah. Actually, there's a couple of ways of looking at that, Gordon. If you connect to your personal node, let's say you've got your All-Star node connected, configured, and you have an account set up for your IAX connections, which would be your IAX RPT program, you could log into your personal node and from there connect anywhere in the system. Okay, but in order for you to connect to somebody else's node with IAX RPT, you would have to have the administrator or the sysop give you that access so that you could actually make that connection. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly did. Thank you. Well, I thought that was probably the way it went. You have to be married with a particular node, be it yours or someone else's, given you the authorization, and then you can go for the world. Thank you, Roger, KY6V.
My pleasure. You know, one of the neat things about belonging to the All-Star Network, and you brought this into my mind here, Gordon, so it's all your fault. anyway, the neat thing about having your own node is, about having your node connected to All-Star is there are touch tone controls that you can utilize to connect or disconnect. There's just so many things that you can set up. One of the things I'm hoping to experiment with is remote controlling an HF rig, which basically is built into the software. You know, I could give, let's use Steve KF5VH down in Louisiana. He wants to use my HF rig as a remote rig. He could actually control it with touch tones and log in, and it would actually, I could set it up to give him just the frequency privileges that belong to him. But these are all the neat bells and whistles that go along with the APPRPT software that works within Asterisk. All right, so I guess, has anybody else got any questions concerning what we've talked about so far? This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Suffix only, please. Okay, hearing none. I guess I kind of flew over the introduction part with, logging into the All-Star system, the All-Star Link system. And you have to do that. That can take, as little as a day to a few days to get your registration. And there's another way other than IAXRPT to connect to the All-Star system. They actually have phone numbers available within the states and outside the states. It's listed in their help pages. They actually give you a 10-digit PIN that allows you to access the network via a telephone or your cell phone, and you can actually log into some of these systems with your phone and carry on just like you're on the radio. So that's some other things that we would probably have to pick another day or another week to discuss. Let me grab a nickel. Well, I keep hoping to see my buddy Steve W9SH in there, but we'll just carry on. And if we have any questions I can't answer, we'll write them down, and I'll get back with you afterwards. I'd like to go over some of the interfaces and/or hardware that can be used for All-Star. The original, very expensive ARIB board that Jim Dixon had designed required two FXS analog telephone ports. I'm not sure if you guys understand what an FXS, there's FXS and FXO. FXS would be like the plug you have in the wall, and wait a minute, I always get those confused. There's two types of ports, and I'm going to have to I can't remember what the other one, but anyway, the FXS port would have to be something that's connected to your computer. So your computer would access the analog telephone port, which would access the ARIB board, and I can't remember what it stands for. However, it and the quad PCI radio interface board were both developed by Jim, and you can see those boards on Jim's history page. I don't know if that's the docs dot allstarlink. I lost it. .org/Drupal/node/8. So anyway, let's see here. Gordon, there's three links in there. All three links pretty much show the same stuff, so if you want to put them all in there, we can make them available to everybody. But basically, I'm going to be talking about, for our sake, the USB interface, which is very inexpensive and very easy to use, and DMK Engineering had developed what they called the URI, which stands for USB Radio Interface. Anyway, the link for the BeagleBoard XM and DMK's LOX board is another board that DMK made that actually interfaces with the BeagleBoard XM. And actually, they used the software for PicoNode, which was also developed by Allstar. But the XM board, the BeagleBoard, costs about $150, and the LOX board is another $100 for hams. And that's pretty pricey for my motto of free or cheaper. Let me grab. So, on the DMK website, you can see the products or the commercial version of the CM109-119 USB interface, the URI, costs about $80 for ham radio operators. I personally like to modify a $5 USB interface and use it in place of a URI. Actually, it is a URI, but I make it myself. The problem with that is surface-mounted technology, and you got to work with 30-gauge wire and very, very sharp-tipped soldering iron, and it's not for the the weak at heart, but it can be done. Let me see if I can turn it back over to Gordon for a minute and see if he's got any feedback on the URI or modified interfaces. Gordon, KY6V, pick it up for a sec, and let's see if you got any feedback on that. W4RFJ.
No, not really, but let me make a couple of comments. All those URLs are posted in the text box that you've just gone over. There's a question in there from in the text box from NXI. I'm assuming that he's probably connected with us on his cell phone here this evening through the Echolink app. And he does not have the ability to copy the information in his text screen and paste it into something else. That being the situation, I can, after the net or certainly in the morning, copy these URLs that I'm posting in an email and send it to him, long as he knows it's coming. He can check his email box, unless you have some thoughts on the matter. There, Chief, KY6V, back to net.
Well, that's a valid point, and yeah, I think either way, I mean, I could even do it, but if you don't mind doing it, Captain, I'd appreciate it, and I'm sure that'll make it a lot easier. I was hoping that everybody could utilize those links from the text box, but that's okay. Yeah, however you want to deal with that, we can talk about that after the net, okay?
That's a roger, roger. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so, you know, looking at the price of a URI, the commercial version, it's really not that bad, considering. You know, you're looking at the amount of money that you'll have to spend against, you know, putting something together yourself. That's all up to you. The URI is exactly the same thing as the you know, the USB sound cards that have the CM109 and 119 chip. Some of the cards that are some of the USB interfaces that I've been able to get a hold of also contain an EEPROM, a memory chip that allows you to set it for whatever. You can save your parameters for whatever radio you're connected to, and if you need to share that radio and plug it into a different USB interface, you don't have to worry about reprogramming the settings. It's all stored in that little mini ROM. So I know I'm probably getting deeper than I originally intended, but I think in all this, I think that setting up your own node first and testing it before you actually link it to the All-Star system is probably the best way to go, namely because you want to make sure that your audio and your interfaces are working properly. I guess the USB radio interface, the cost of buying a USB sound card, which is a really small device, and modifying it to connect to a radio, doesn't destroy or minimize the audio quality. The USB interface is by far best because you don't need to bring any telephone interfaces into play. You just plug your USB interface, whether it's a URI or your own modified unit, and you can also get them on eBay for pretty cheap too. But one of the things about ordering it from eBay is making sure to check that the chip is a CM109 or CM119 chip. That's the only drawback of ordering it. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, so we've got our interfaces identified. Let's see. So depending on how much, you know, if you spend a little or spend a lot, you're going to be putting together a real fine system with using the USB interface. And I believe it's a 12-bit digital to analog to digital conversion chip. And it, as Steve had mentioned a minute ago, it is capable of full duplex. It's capable of decoding and encoding PL. Actually, it can even encode and decode DPL, but we don't have access to that yet. That's just talking to my buddies that deal with the development of the DSP and stuff. So let's see. As far as putting together a fine system, you can put yourself together a mini or micro ITX, ATX system. It can cost anywhere from $150 to sky's the limit, depending on what you want to spend. The Raspberry Pis can cost between $5 and $50, depending upon what your taste in hardware is. However, most people forget there are associated costs such as a case, a power supply, a wireless keyboard, that kind of stuff to be able to set it up. So let's take some check-ins and see if anybody else has any ideas or any questions on hardware that can be used to set up your All-Star node. Of course, you also need to take into account the radio. Depending on the type of audio interface you want to use, and we'll talk more about that in just a little while here. So let me take check-ins and see if anybody has any questions or any input to what we talked about as far as hardware.
Victor Hotel with a quick comment.
I hope I'm making this clear enough. Let's see here. Let's see. From this point, we're going to discuss the audio interconnection with the URI and the radio. Let's see. Gordon, if you could bring up that link that's being supported by Delco Doug, and I'll let you comment on that that audio setup for EchoLink, and possibly even maybe some information about flat audio and processed audio as far as linking up to a radio. I think that falls in line with your article. Gordon, are you available for that? Over.
Yeah, certainly. I just placed the URL in the text box. However, before we get into any of that, Victor Hotel was trying to get to you. Well, want to pick him up? Over.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, we'll break with you for a second. Captain, go ahead, Steve.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I didn't hear you say it. The All-Star node can talk AIX, and it can talk AIX to an Android, to an iPhone, to a PC using IAXRPT. But the other option is talking to it using EchoLink. So whatever you're using right now for EchoLink, there is an EchoLink module that sits on the All-Star node. And the it doesn't have the audio that a full All-Star connection does, but it does allow you to connect from your EchoLink interface directly into the all-star note. Back to you, Roger. TF5VH.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Steve. Yeah, I was going to mention that toward the end, mainly because I was asked to do something about All-Star and setting up your own node. Steve is absolutely correct. I remember when I was first experimenting with All-Star and Echolink, I actually had All-Star on one interface, and I'm calling it an interface. Actually, it was a conference, and Echolink on another. And that way, from either node, whether I was coming in through All-Star or I was coming in through Echolink, I could link them up with touch-tone commands from either side. So you can get very creative, but Steve, thanks for bringing that up because it is a valid point. It does allow you to interface a lot of other modes, too. You can actually set it up to work with D-Star. You have to have the appropriate hardware to decode or transcode the D-Star information to base audio and vice versa. But the asterisk/APPRPT software is very, very versatile, and it can do a lot more than we can actually show tonight. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. Is there anything else, Steve? I apologize. I can't see my text box, but I'm very thankful that Gordon is watching it and able to relay. So anything else, Steve?
No, sir. Carry on.
All right, Captain. Go ahead. Fire away, Gridley.
Well, thank you, Chief. And thank you, Steve. KY6V here. Well, I'm not sure why you inserted this in the All-Star program. Because it's just a good and proven way of verifying what your audio is doing. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm very pleased, very much so, in the sound of the audio that is produced with the All-Star programming. Second to none, as far as I'm concerned. And the article that I just posted in the text box was something I did many years ago when I was involved in orchestrating and running and maintaining a wide area repeater system up in Central Florida. And we had, when I say wide area, we were using a voting type system and had voting transceivers scattered all around the countryside. The repeater was located in Deland, Florida, and 25 miles away we had a voting system to have hams be able to get to the repeater that was located on the top of the Daytona racetrack. We had one on top of Sugarloaf Mountain, which was west of Orlando, and on it went. So what we were doing is we were very interested in the quality of our audio and making sure that we had a good-sounding system. Let me buy a nickel. So what we were running in the testing department, if you will, was a system that is used in broadcasting all the time, and that's to analyze your audio, and that's what this article covers. You check for distortion, you determine where your distortion levels are, you check on the dynamic response of your audio from zero frequency to above the audio range. And you see, you're particularly looking for, in most cases, a straight line level of audio amplitude, okay? Now, if you've got peaks and valleys, there's a reason for those peaks and valleys, and you want to look into why they are occurring. At some frequencies, the level may be considerably lower than it should be, and in others, it could be too high. So that's what that was all about. And anybody that is really getting into tying multiple systems together, it's a good idea to take a look-see at, you know, what you're producing and is it the best job that you can do. So I don't know if that's what you wanted me to cover, but that's what you got, Chief. KY6V, back to net.
Okay, do we have somebody wanting to get in from the WA3NNA repeater? Please call W4RFJ, net control, for the Thursday information net. Okay, hearing none. I guess I was so intrigued with that article and how simple you made it sound something that I wanted to share with the group. And the fact that we've had that posted on Delco Doug since, what, 2004? Or that's when the article was written. I don't remember when we posted it. But anyway, let's take some check-ins. I do want to talk a little bit about flat audio and how you hook it up to, how you hook up your All-Star link to your radio. It's recommended that through the URI or the USB radio interface that you connect it to the directly to the... I just went brain dead. Those parts of the radio that take why am I brain dead? Gordon, can you help me out here?
Well, I got distracted. I'm not sure exactly where you were. Put it back together and I'll see if I can help.
Oh, man. You want to put the audio directly to the modulation circuit, bypassing any microphone circuitry. And you want to take your audio off straight off of the discriminator. And that helps keep the quality of the audio to its top-notch ability, and it also makes it easier for the CM109, 119, I guess the modulator. You need to modulate directly into the, did that make it sound... like it makes sense? I don't know why I'm going brain dead here.
Yeah, what you're doing is just cutting out some stages. You're getting to the clean delivery like coming off the discriminator. Bearing in mind that the level off the discriminator is lower than, in most cases, than you need, and you're going to have to amplify it somewhere in the chain. But that's a smart way to go because, you know, the more circuitry you have in a chain of events, in a series of events, each portion can lead to some adverse conditions that, you know, you'd like to stay away from. I guess that is the way to put it. Go ahead, Chief, KY6V.
All right, Captain, thanks for bailing me out of that one. I think I had it right the second time, and I appreciate you backing me up there. Let's take some check-ins and see if anybody else wants to add to the subject. I would like to pass it over to Steve, KF5VH, and hear his take on it, on the audio quality and connections between the URI and the radio, and then we'll take check-ins. Steve, any input?
I guess I will say that... much of what you were talking about is emphasis and de-emphasis of the band, the audio band. But once you get that solved and the audio properly reaches the URI, it's all digital from there. So the only thing you're dealing with is level. Once it's all ones and zeros at that point, so however it goes in, it'll come out the other side with just the same set of ones and zeros. And that's where the great audio comes from. Back to you, Roger, KF5VH.
I couldn't have explained it myself any better, Steve. Thank you very much. That is absolutely correct. And if you keep the extra stages out of it, like Gordon was saying, you're going to eliminate any more introduction of noise. So let's take some check-ins and talk more about the audio connections and... our All-Star systems. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net, looking for check-ins to discuss the audio connections of our system. Suffix only, please, W4RFJ.
This is W9SH, SH rather, suffix only. Okay, Steve here, no traffic.
Oh, great wise one. We were hoping you'd show up, but W9SH, come on aboard. Welcome to the South Cars Thursday Information Net. I am tickled pink. Tickled tink. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I am better late rather than never. So that's where I got to come in. And, I just want to say hello and thanks for everybody for using the zipper wherever possible. And whether you know it or not, using other bits and pieces that I had something to do with.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve. I was talking a little bit about the history. I found a web page that Gordon shared in the text box that Jim Dixon, WB6NIL, who's now SK, had shared on the website, the documentation part of the All-Star website. And he did mention you in there quite a few times, the IAX protocols I think you helped develop, and the DSP issues that he was having with the USB, which led to the URI and the USB to sound card interfaces that I've had the opportunity of making myself. And I did want to introduce you to the group here this evening. We've got some people down in the land down under. They're sporting their summer weather now, and they're aboard listening. And just wanted to introduce you as my all-star Elmer. And that's how you got your nickname, Agwo. But I told them you prefer Steve, so maybe that'll smooth things over. Steve, do you have anything you might want to add to the history that Jim had shared? I don't know if you had a chance to look over that. Over.
I'll just let it stand. Anybody's got any questions, throw it my way, and we will return to being a fly on the wall. Enjoyed. As usual, W9SH, Atlanta, Georgia, back to W4RFJ in the group.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for being there, Steve. Anyway, the audio connection that we were discussing is very important. I found that connecting right directly to the discriminator and the modulator within the radio is best practice and really gives the awesome audio that All-Star is known for. Next, I want to make sure that everyone understands that there is more than one type of setup for All-Star. Most of them are Linux-based distributions, and most of the distributions is designed to make your hardware work. With All-Star, I guess, Gordon, if you could share the All-Star link URL in the text box, I'd appreciate it. And I'll take a second here to grab a nickel. Did I check for check-ins? Was there anybody who wanted to talk about the audio stuff before I move on to the hardware? Okay, hearing none. Gordon has placed the link for All-Star's homepage again. To the right and down, you can see the different versions of software that they recommend. The Dial, D-I-A-L, which has something to do with Debian installed All-Star link or something like that. That has got two versions. One is able to run on a Raspberry Pi. I think that's a 2 or a 3, and it will run on a x86 PC. Some of the older versions, the ACID, which is x86 only, is still available. They got the Limey, which is designed for i686 and VIA processors, and of course the Pickle. Pickle works with the BeagleBoard XM and a LOX board. That LOX board is made by DMK, if you remember seeing the website for DMK. I actually had one. I don't know what I did with it. It's buried in one of my junk boxes somewhere. And it works quite well. It actually gave you two radio interfaces. And it was a little bit big, though, for me. Let's see. Some of the other software that's available. Gordon, if you could put the next one, I think, is Steve's, W9SH's Zipper, X-I-P-A-R. And that's Steve, Steve Henke, W9SH's distro, which I like a lot because he's got a lot of bells and whistles in there. Steve, would you like to talk about that for a little bit? Maybe do some bragging? That was for W9SH from W4RFJ.
W9SH, W4RFJ. Sorry, I got to bring the client back up here since it was buried under a million pages. But, yeah, the Zipper is optimized for, well, analog FM, which is it's why everybody's bragging on the audio. And the other thing is it's supposed to even duck Allison when she decides she's got something to say and somebody else is already saying something. And that's set in the configuration file by how many dB she goes down. And, excuse me, stuff like that. So, yeah, have at it. Any complaints, any comments?
Well, I only have one complaint. It doesn't run on a Raspberry Pi. let's see. Also, the IAXRPT software we had mentioned before you came in, Steve, I was wondering if I could throw it out for questions on that. Are you okay with that, Steve? I know there's a couple people that have some questions. Over.
Sure, I'll start working this like it's an HF net. That's the way to do it. It runs under Wine, I know, and everybody should have a fine time playing with it. Let me know if anything goes wrong with it. I'm talking on it right now. W9SH, back to the group.
Okay, fantastic. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. There are any questions for Steve concerning the IAXRPT software, which was originally written to work in the Windows or Winblows area, but Steve actually makes a good point. It is very good under Linux using the Wine program to run Windows. But anyway, any questions, please call W4RFJ.
Six, Victor.
Victor Hotel.
Okay, I have six, Victor. Victor Hotel. Captain, go ahead and call Steve direct and ask your question. Over.
Thank you very much, Steve. Chief, W9SH, this is KY6V down here south of you in Florida. I have a quick question for you on IAXRPT. I have a need where I would like to set up an automatic transmitter control on that software. Basically, as it comes in the package, you can get into transmit mode by using the control key on your keyboard, you know that, and you can also use your mouse and click it on the proper spot of the program. I want to be able to take audio from a secondary program such as EchoLink and have it transferred through AllStar. It's what I'm looking for is a Vox switch, basically. When there's audio there, it's in the transmit mode, and when there isn't audio there, it's not, that type of thing. Any suggestions on a quick fix for that, Steve? Back to you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to answer the question. I've had good luck using the internal asterisk voxing, and and you know, a simple client like Zoiper or something like that to connect to the device. And I think I can try that right now, as a matter of fact. But that's the thing I would do. And the other thing is that to Echolink, if you're trying to connect to Echolink, I mean, I think you can do that natively.
Well, now, I'm talking a standalone IAX RPT, okay? Not associated with a local or on-house node. So I'm trying to key right into your software, basically, of that specific program, Steve. Over.
Okay, so so you want to be able to key directly into some sort of mode without going through a node to act as the mediator. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. At least at this time. Over.
Well, no, I understand that. No, unfortunately, the IAX RPT requires a real box running asterisk somewhere to act as the gateway into the All-Starlink network. So all the connection rules and things like that and whatever, that's embodied in the IAX channel driver under asterisk. So you're not going to get that out of a IAX RPT. You're not going to get it to act as a All-Star node directly. I mean, you got to hook up to a node.
Okay, one last and quick question, Steve, because you got another Steve waiting on you also. In the software for IAX RPT is an area called Q-tone. Can you explain that to me? Is it a PL tone that keys it? I assume this is in the PTT area. Is it a single? I can't find any literature on it. Is it a single tone? Is it a dual tone? Does it have a set DTMF figure or a particular PL type tone that it's looking for? How does it work, sir? Over.
I should make it work like an old Quindar and have it key up and key down. But no, it's just a proceed tone, so to speak, for the user. It's not doesn't activate any hidden function or anything, or activate PTT on the transmitter. It's just a it just says whether it's going to be silent or whether you're going to get a side tone in your ear. It tells you that you hit the PTT switch. So that's it. Back to you.
Okay. Well, that answered a big question for me. Similar to or the same thing as a courtesy beep at the end of a repeater tail, right?
Yeah, courtesy beep. I don't know whether you get it at both when you key up and key down. I'll find out here.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Back to you, Chief, and you've got Victor Hotel standing by. Thank you very much, Mr. SH, KY6V, Chief.
KY6V, sorry, I didn't use the call earlier. Apologies, I hope, accepted, W9SH.
Hey, you can call me anything, Steve. Thank you, sir. Chief, go ahead.
Anything but late for dinner and awake when the temperatures are below 60. Oh, I know his feet don't hit the floor by then. Okay, so Gordon, thanks for sharing that, and Steve, thanks for answering. We got KF5 Victor Hotel down in the beautiful state of Louisiana. And Steve, go ahead and call Steve W9SH direct with your question or your query. Over.
W9SH from KF5VH. First of all, thank you for your work with IAX RPT. I have it on my wife's iPhone, I have it on my Android, I have it on my Windows system, and it's always performed well. My question is the difference between the versions. If I use the Android version, I get a 16-button keypad. if I use the Windows version, I get a 12 button without the Alpha through Delta. Is there another version out there I don't know about with a full keypad? Back, over to you, Steve, KF5VH.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'm shame on me. You're saying that the keypad that's on the user interface shows up differently? That was a question for UVH. You're saying that the keypad that's visible to the user on the user interface shows up differently? It's got the fourth row in it or fourth column. It's got A, B, C, D in it.
Yes, it does. Sorry I didn't come back before I keyed up on IXRPT, which is hooked to my repeater. So, yes, I see 12 on Android. I'm sorry, 16 on Android and 12 on Windows.
Wow, that's pretty strange. And that's the same version of program? I mean, if you do About, it tells you it's the same operating version?
Well, I can check the About on the IXRPT. I don't know, is there an About on the Android version? I'll tell you what, let me look for those two numbers and I'll put them in the text box. Oh, you don't have the text box. I'll get back to you with those two numbers, KF5VH.
That would be great. There's under Help on the IXRPT, there's an About box, and it's the very first number. Find out whether it says that it's the same version or not, and it should be interesting. W9SH with a KF5VH on the SouthCarsNet.
Roger, go ahead and pick it up, and I'll get back with that information. Let's not hold up the net.
Okay, I guess it's back to you, Net Control. Go ahead, RFJ.
Thanks, Steve. Sierra Hotel, and Steve, Victor Hotel, when you're ready, just pop in there, and we'll let you finish up with Oh Great Wise One over there. Let's see. I know this next section is a little bit of a sore spot with some people because of some open source sharing issues, but I felt that I would be doing a disservice if I didn't share this link, because there's a lot of step-by-step how-tos, and it applies to all the different versions. Steve Victor Hotel, don't get too upset with me, but on hamvoip.org, which I believe Gordon should be sharing right now, is a distribution that runs on a BeagleBone Black and a Raspberry Pi. But the reason why I'm making this available is because, first of all, the software is free, even though there's some open source sharing issues, and the instructions that he, Doug, WA3DSP, has on his HamVoip page is very beneficial and kind of fills some holes. So let's see if we can take some check-ins about some of the softwares that we have available for AllStar, and see if anybody has any questions that we can answer. Let's see, suffix only, please, as usual. That just helps me write it down quicker. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Net Control, this is Juliet, Uniform Foxtrot, JUF.
Okay, Charlie, do you have questions about the software available for the All-Star links, or are you just checking in to say hi?
I know absolutely about All-Stars, except if you're talking basketball, that's something else. I'll just say hi here. As they say, wave a hand. I can't wave two hands because of the push to talk. But I will hear. I will listen. Hopefully, I will learn.
Okay, Charlie. Well, you're welcome to do so. Let's see. At this point, I'm going over my notes here. I kind of skipped over some stuff but I think I've got the general gist out there. I guess the main thing that people need to understand about the All-Star link, it's basically taking advantage of the very easy way to connect nodes together or link nodes together with the properties that the *APP RPT system gives us. And there is quite a sharp learning curve, almost straight up for me at the beginning, but when you have great Elmers like Steve W9SH, I can include KF5VH in that realm, and I've got some friends throughout the United States that I've been able to learn from, so I'm not the know-it-all, I just love playing with it, and it's been very successful throughout the United States and overseas. I can tell you about the WAN system up here near me that is linked to several different places using the All-Star system. And I've got a very wide coverage system here that I can access All-Star very easily with. And, the telephone interface is also a nice feature that All-Star gives you. With your 10-digit PIN, you can dial into the network and connect to any node. It's just a lot of information to share. So I guess getting back to, let me grab a nickel, getting back to, you know, setting up your own node, we talked about tonight's subject being registering and setting up your own node. Well, there's a lot of decisions that you got to make. First of all, you got to get logged into the system through their website and through the allstarlink.org website. And once you get your login and you get access, that's where you get to set up your node. And usually the way I understand it, you set up a server and then you connect a node to that server, or you request a node. And once they give it to you, in order to make it active, you connect it to or put it under that server. And then you have to configure the node to match what you're setting it up for. And then once you've done that, All-Star, that website, gives you a configuration file that you can load into your All-Star node. So it kind of helps you with the configuring and the setup of the node, and once you got it configured, you can basically bring it online and you're part of the system. So that's with the configuring. Let me grab a nickel and see if KF5VH has got his information yet. Okay, so setting up the All-Star link is fairly simple. There's a lot of instructions on the website that walks you through it very easily. Some of the questions you might develop while configuring your node on the website, they're very quick to answer. So, and of course, if you have a problem, you can contact myself or one of us that is involved with All-Star. And of course, I know I'll be glad to help any way I can. And then we talked about hardware. Let me grab another nickel. Now, I have set up the zipper box, as I call it, on a micro ITX board that runs on a 12-volt power supply, and I have two USB interfaces hooked up to it that I wired up and built on a board myself, and it worked quite well. It actually, I'm planning on doing it again as soon as our good friend Steve Sierra Hotel makes the network install available again. My zipper box will be back in operation, and I'm also putting together some All-Star hotspots that I'm wiring into a Raspberry Pi, but I'm still working on that, as Captain KY6V will tell you. And but there's all kinds of different hardware that you can use. I haven't seen anybody set it up on a Macintosh as of yet, but I don't know. With the new Intel version, that may still be possible. But all in all, it's a neat little system for the price using a Raspberry Pi. Let me grab a nickel, see if Victor Hotel's ready to talk to Steve again. Or if anybody has any questions, please drop your suffix in there, W4RFJ. Okay. So the hardware, you need to resolve your hardware, the computer, the interface, and the radio. You know, some radios work better than others. Some radios give you direct access to the discriminator, some don't. So you have to decide, you know, how you want to set that up. What operating system is going to be used? Well, most of the distributions that I've played with are running Linux. Some form of Linux, whether it's CentOS or CentOS, whatever they call it, Debian, Ubuntu. I remember when I first set up my first All-Star system, that or the first APPRPT system I put up, I had to compile the software on the system, which was pretty neat. But that's where I get into self-torture and pain. So, and also I mentioned the IAXRPT. It's a computer program that's used to access your All-Star node and communicate with the radio. So I'm getting pretty close to the end here, unless somebody has questions, can think of anything that I might have forgotten. I'd be glad to take some feedback here, some more check-ins, and see if there's any questions that we can answer. Of course, you know, I am available sometimes over the weekend to chat about it. I got the Sheriff of Nottingham down there in Maryland playing with Raspberry Pi Zeros. So that's somewhere I'm thinking about experimenting with All-Star. But, you know, that's what it's all about, is experimenting and building and having some fun. So one more time, we'll take some check-ins here. If no questions, then I think we'll pass it around to the guys and gals that have been helping me here and see if we get any final comments. So check-ins first. Anybody got a question, give me a call. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Okay, Bernie, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been debating whether to ask this or not, but I think it will. I was wondering, I had an ISO image of the All-Star software. I don't know what version I had, but I had it burned a USB stick. That's what I wanted to say, a USB stick there. And I was thinking, should I install it or should I? What I want to find out is, can that be installed alongside what I've got on the netbook already in an empty space of the hard drive? Or does the image need the entire hard drive? Would I lose everything that I have, you know, lose access that I had on there before? That's question one. And question two, I wonder if the wiring is different, or could I use my Echolink interface for All-Star? Back to you at W4RFJ, K9WDX, couldn't I?
Well, K9WDX, this is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net, South Cars. And you bring up a very good question. I think that most of the distributions that I've dealt with require it to wipe your drive. It's designed to operate on a system that's being used just for that purpose. Mm-hmm. However, you might want to explore using a virtual operating system or a VMware or something like that to try to bring that up. I know there would probably, I'm not sure how the interfaces would set up, because I'm not a big, I'm not super into VMware. I know there's I/O issues come into play. But that would possibly be an option. But, you know, as inexpensive as Raspberry Pis are, you know, you can pick up one of those things for about $35 and, you know, throw everything together on a dedicated little box that you hook up to some radios, and now you've got a nice little hotspot node there for you. And it's really inexpensive. I think that was the first question. And could you repeat the second question? I apologize.
Okay there, Chief. I had to wait for my Echolink node to finish IDing and CW there before I could key up, because of course it's not listening for my signal when it's transmitting the ID. So W4RFJK9WDX. Well, I was just thinking of, I was wondering if I could use the same interface that I'm using for Echolink or not. That uses the the mic and the speaker jacks of my transceiver. So I'm wondering if that would work or not, if the wiring would be different. I know I have already sent and received slow scan TV using a slow scan TV program using the Echolink interface. I've also transmitted the AR Newsline and ARRL audio news and rain reports over the air using the Echolink interface, and Echolink wasn't even running at the time, so I know I've used other programs going through it, but I'm wondering if the All-Star could be run through that too, or if the wiring would be completely different or whatever. W4RFJK9WDX.
Well, I think the issue here, and Steve Sierra Hotel might be able to back me up or correct me. I think the issues with that is that the DSP or the software that interfaces the CM109 chip, which is a USB to audio, audio to USB chip, and I believe it's a 12-bit digital analog, analog digital chip, and that's where you're getting quality from too. But I think the issue is I don't know if anybody's written software that will allow you to use that sound card interface on your computer to do that. Sierra Hotel, Steve, do you mind backing me up on this one? I'm not exactly sure, but that's what's in the back of my mind. I think I'd had this discussion with you many, many moons ago.
No, you are 100% correct, Roger. The software is written to connect to a particular kind of chip or a particular kind of channel driver. No other chip that I know of, other than the CM119, 108 type chips, have been supported. So you're kind of SOL using another port to establish a connection to All-Star. Although All-Star is technically an open source project, which means if you want to write something and compile a channel driver or anything like that, you can. Good luck to you. Enjoy. 73W9SH. We're back to Ned.
Okay, very good. Are you good there, Bernie? You can set up a virtual operating system running Linux and using a USB connection to one of these URI or a USB card that's modified to allow you to push to talk on the radio. You could do something like that, but as inexpensive as these interfaces are, and the little tiny computers at their credit card size, it would be more feasible to set up an All-Star node, put an Echolink interface in it, and then just interface that. So just some ideas. And let's see, did Victor Hotel finish gathering his information? We'll break with Bernie. Wait a minute. Bernie, are you good, or do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I'm good there, Chief. That's what I suspected anyway, but just wanted to kind of confirm it. It's nice to have two or three people with their opinions, especially if they're a little bit more expert at it than I am. I am a standard user, and I do have that 10-digit PIN for All-Star, and I have used it on my cell phone and an Android phone, Android tablet a few times, but I I didn't check the box yet to create my own node. I figure I won't do that until I get something. And I was looking at Raspberry Pis, and I was thinking, well, which one do I get? 1, 2, 0? I don't know, whatever version. They have different versions of Raspberry Pis. I was like, which one should I get? So I was trying to investigate that to try to decide what would be the best one to get. Now I was thinking, too, if I put my repeater on the air somewhere here on a tower, then maybe you know, Raspberry Pi might be the way to go there. If I would wire it right directly to the repeater itself, or to another transceiver at the repeater site, not exactly sure exactly what I want to do yet. But I'm think I'm good for now. W4RFJK9WDX.
Okay, Bernie. Well, your imagination is your only restriction in setting up systems with this type of stuff. And I can tell you that it's small enough. It doesn't require a lot of energy to run it on a little Raspberry Pi. And I use the Raspberry Pi as an access point for my D-Star and my Fusion radios. And I'm hoping to be able to get D-Star working with my All-Star Link eventually. But that's another story for another time. Let me see. I'll break with you, Bernie, and see if Steve down in Louisiana has got his information together for our buddy, Oh Great Wise One.
I'm back with you. Request direct with W9SH.
Take her away, Steve. You're good to go.
9SH KF5VH. The Android version of the software that supports 16 buttons is 1.14. The Windows version I'm running is 01.01.46. Any comments about that? I find it unusual that they have different numbering systems. W9SH KF5VH.
No, I do too, because I would even have to look and find out whether that 14 is one of mine, so to speak, because 4.6 clearly is. That's the latest and greatest. That's still being released from the on the website, and I think there's a flag that says, would you like a 3x4 or a 4x4 keypad? So, that may be the answer to our to your question, so to speak.
So I keyed up on the wrong repeater again. If that flag is in there, I've missed it. So I will take some time and look for it on the one ending in 46. Back to net, KF5VH. And thank you, Steve.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And see if it's in there. And if it isn't, we can put it in there for you. We're getting ready to do a new release, just to freshen the IAX RPT primarily documentation, and that would be a nice thing to document. That's for you, those of you who have repeaters that strangely require the fourth column. Those that require the fifth column, well, I don't get involved in that.
Now that's funny right there. Okay, this is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. And I think we've covered just about everything that we can cover. About the only thing that we can do beyond here is to possibly share information concerning connections and or collaborate on different projects that we're sharing or that we're doing. I know myself, I'm in the process of putting a hotspot, an all-star hotspot together in a Raspberry Pi within a Raspberry Pi case, and I'm making a couple of different versions of that. To answer Bernie's question about which Raspberry Pi, well, I think any of them will work. The ones that we're having the most success with are the Raspberry Pi 2 and the Raspberry Pi 3. They both cost about the same, so my suggestion is go with the Raspberry Pi 3. It's a quad-core processor. Excuse me. Hold on a minute. I've been getting the hiccups here lately, and that just about started. The Raspberry Pi 3 is a quad-core processor at 1 gigahertz, or even a little bit more. I think I run mine at 1 gigahertz, and the memory is at 1 gig of RAM. And it has 4 USB interfaces, Ethernet, and Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. And there was another thing I wanted to mention, too. Let me grab a nickel. There is a SaneSmart makes an I.O. board for the Raspberry Pi 2, and they made one for the Raspberry Pi 1. I can't remember the model numbers, but the one I've got for the Raspberry Pi 2 actually includes a Wi-Fi interface, which the Raspberry Pi 2 does not have, and it also contains a chip that is a CM119 chip on it that I plan on experimenting with hooking that up to radios to make an all-star node on a Raspberry Pi 2 with the I.O. expansion interface that sits on top of it. So there's all kinds of hardware out there, and they're making new hardware every day, and I think this is a good way to share some of those different avenues. So I'd like to pass it out or open it up for more check-ins. I see that Miss Sunshine is spreading her light from Michigan upon us. Maybe she'd like to jump in and say hello. Either way, give me your suffix and let me know you're there, and we'll do a quick roundtable. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. I almost said Saturday. Okay, hearing none, this is W4RFJ. Let me pass it around to my helpers here. Gordon, KY6V, do you have any comments for the net? Any ideas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Jump on in and share it with us. Over.
Thanks, Chief. KY6V here. I was hoping that Kathy would check in. I do see her on the marquee. Up there in that frigid north condition that she's in. I am going to have to go back and scan the text box. There's been a lot of activity. See if I've missed anything. But I did pick up, and if John is still there, you might want to inquire what he knows about this. That's VK3 Hotel Juliet, Quebec in Australia. Made a comment that there is some new software out called Echo Lima, ending with L-I-M-A, you know, Lima like in Peru. Says it's a bit like the current Echo Link. So I'd be interested to hear more about that, Raj. Back to you, KY6V.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Let's see if John's in there and available for some comments. I'd like to hear more about that. I apologize, I haven't been able to keep up with the text box. I am operating my Echo Link from my Android device here, and it kind of makes it difficult to watch both at the same time. So John, VK3H, I know I had it written down here somewhere. Hold on a second. HJQ. John, do you want to join us and fill us in on this Echo Lima stuff? Over.
Yeah, okie dokies. Thanks for somebody reading us. We're having lunch here and not listening away. Well, Echo Lima is a project that a group of people are organising, mainly Michael V7KI in British Columbia. So it's going to be basically a souped-up Echo Link system, I suppose you could say. It's going to be network-based. The reason he started designing it was basically for blind amateur radio operators. Now, Michael has several servers around the world, one of them being the Ham Conference Tech Link. There's an Echo Lima server already on Echo Link as well, Handy Ham. So the original intention was to make a radio system that blind amateurs could use, but it's sort of gone further than that now. So eventually the system will be basically you won't need to have a radio, you can just use your PC, obviously whether there's going to be a version for Android or iPhones, iPads, who knows, don't know. All he's doing is basically writing the code, so you just basically type in, you register the system, and on you go. Now, there's going to be a lot more security in the system, just a quick break. Security in the system, I don't know if people are used to using the bridge. Well, I use the bridge software here to control the ham conference, the same with Robert D.Y. does, and there's a lot of security holes in that, so they're going to close up all the security holes in the system. Hopefully they're going to allow D-Star, All-Star and other systems into it as well. The audio is going to be fixed up, the same as what it is on All-Star. But technically, you don't need any hardware. So I'll put the link to the website there if people want to have a read about it. Yeah, that's basically the crux of it. It's sort of in the development stage. Probably talking a fair way down the track before there's actually a beta version out that... that us guys, there's about half a dozen of us guys that we're playing with, are trying to get it all sorted, and they're in the middle of basically coding it at the moment. Back to you.
Okay, John. Well, I will add that to my list of inquiries. I know that there's a lot of different software being developed all over the place for ham radio, and D-Star, DMR, Fusion, those are some areas that I've been experimenting with also. And I just to put it out there, I found an awesome distribution for the Raspberry Pi running. Actually, I run mine with a DB Mega, and got it turned into a nice, neat little device that I can plug in just about anywhere, and have access to D-Star's network. But it's called PiStar, and it's very simple to set up and web-based configuration. Pretty neat stuff. So. You know, it's hard to stay on top of this stuff, so we got to stick together here, John. Thanks for sharing. And I was wondering if anybody else had any information that I didn't see in the text box. Please call W4RFJ.
Sierra United November.
Well, Miss Sunshine, come on in, brighten the room, W4RFJ. Good evening.
Well, good evening, Mr. Roger. I just thought I'd listen here. My mother and I and son are all here, along with a puppy dog. I thought I would just see what was going on. I'm surprised it's lasted this long. But sunshine, it is 32 degrees currently here in Rapid City. We will only be in Rapid City for a couple more days, then we move to a new home in Kalkaska, which is either could be warmer or colder. But it is nice up here. It's been nice and sunny. We've had some good days. So with that, I'll just turn it back to you. I will say hello to my better half down there in Port St. Lucie, who, Roger, you know, will be celebrating her birthday on Sunday. I want to say happy, happy birthday to my love. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Roger. W4RFJ from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Outstanding. Very good. Kathy, glad to have you in here. I would like to finish up the net because it has been going on for a couple of hours now. And I saw Steve W9SH logged in as Echo Link, and then he disappeared. But if you're okay with it, I'll pass it over to you and Gordon when we get done here, which shouldn't be too much longer. I'm just getting final comments from my helpers, so to speak. So please hang around. I'm sure the captain would love to chat with you. Over.
No problem, Roger. I was just straightening some stuff out as far as the proxy is concerned, but I'll stick around.
Well, I'm tickled for that, Steve. Thanks. okay, so basically, let's see. Gordon gave his comments. Steve, KF5 Victor Hotel, thanks for helping out tonight. Do you have any final comments or anything you want to share concerning the All-Star nodes? Over.
Yes, one quick thing. Let me put a URL up in the box. I wanted to offer to people who would like to see what you can do with an All-Star system in terms of connections, Skywarn, earthquakes, weather forecasts, etc., an opportunity to look at the document, it's a website. It shows it's a public distribution from the standpoint that any of the radio amateurs around here can see it. They can do all these connects themselves. They can have considerable control. There are a few magic commands, but they can have considerable control over what the repeater is doing. So if you don't have the text box, it's Lafayette, and then phonetically Oscar Hotel Sierra Echo Papa .org/537.ASP Alpha Sierra Papa. If you just like to take a look on what you can do with an all-star system, KF5VH.
Outstanding, Steve. And I did want to mention, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been going over the scripts that you shared with me, and I'm excited, and I can't wait to get that stuff running on my zipper box. I think that's going to be a very good venue for that. Let's see. Let's pass it over to W9SH. Steve, I really want to thank you for joining us this evening. And, you know, I over the years, and I guess it's been a while since we started talking, but I just wanted to thank you for sharing and helping me improve my skills with some of this VOIP stuff, especially with All-Star and the Zipper Box. It's been an awesome endeavor learning from the great wise one. Steve, do you have any final comments or anything else you want to share about All-Star? This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net.
No, other than to expand on what VH said, Steve, KF5VH, I believe it is. He is exactly right. All-Star and Asterisk is a Swiss Army knife, and add All-Star connectivity into it, and it can do anything, that practically anything you want it to do, and connect to practically and bridge between A and B. You can do a dial-up to get on the air, and you know, the solutions are limitless, so to speak. I need to put my sales hat on when I talk about that, because that is the fact of the matter, that it can do so much that you've just got to learn to do it. And there is no incorrect way to do it. If it works, it works. It must be right. So, that's good. KF5VH and W4RFJ, this is W9SH. Stick around for a bit on the South Cars Information Net.
Very good, Steve. Thank you very much. And let's see. I know I'm just trying to see if we should take a last call for check-ins. I really wish I could get more in depth and more technical, but it's kind of hard to do on a net. But if you guys and gals have any questions, you can always email me at w4rfj@arrl.net, and or you can post an email to Scars VoIP, and you know, I'll get it that way. That'll clog everybody's email box, but we're always here to help, and certainly appreciate those that are always there to help me. So paying it forward, just email me at my email address if you have any questions, and of course I'll be more than willing to share what I put together as schematics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that'll be an ongoing thing. So, if we don't have any last calls, I think we'll close the net with a total time of 2 hours. Lord have mercy. Okay, let's take those final check-ins. W4RFJ. Okay, hearing none. Captain, it's all yours. You want to throw the post-amble at us? And I guess I failed to announce our nets, so I'll let you take care of that, too. And thank you. Thank you very much, all those that participated and or joined us for a listen. Glad to have been able to be here myself to do this. And Captain, take it away. W4RFJ is relinquishing the net to you, sir.
Very well, sir. Thank you. I was trying to figure out or remember exactly how you do that. I think you go, no, thank you, Chief. And I want to thank everybody that participated tonight. Grand, and I was very delighted to see the HAMS conference out of Australia with us. John, nice making your acquaintance here this evening, and I know that I didn't hear from Robert, but I know that he's in the background and handling the control buttons and that kind of stuff. That's VK2DY. So, this has been SCARS. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. That's SCARSVOIP.com. And your net control and master in ceremony tonight has been Roger up there in Pennsylvania, W4RFJ, and his friends and talent that participated in the net. Nets are coming up this weekend, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on our server for the AM connection, SSIN at noon for intercontinental worldwide participation. And, of course, our rag chews that take place on Saturday and Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, at 7 p.m. in the evening. We have a lot of fun on those sessions as well. Good night to all. And, Kathy, I'll give you a call in a moment if you're still there. If not, I'm going to go find something to eat. Bye-bye, everybody. KY6V and SCARS now clear.